and we'll be brief. We cannot afford to do without our Christ-centered services. When we meet together, it's supposed to be Jesus Christ in the center of everything that we do. No, we cannot afford to do without our Christ-centered services. When we pray, we know how, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the Word? Many churches don't put much emphasis on praying anymore. And I feel guilty that we don't put more than we do. But our secret of power lies in our prayers to God. You know, down there in Revival, I mean, we're beginning into our part of a third week tomorrow night. And God's blessed that thing. We had 27 people saved. Numerous numbers of people rededicated their life. Parents getting right with each other. Women going and hugging each other that had aught against each other for a long time. Church has been revived. Preacher said it's the best meeting we've had since I've been here as the pastor. And it didn't take me long to figure out why. They meet before service and pray. Sometimes they're meeting after service and pray. The preacher is a man of prayer. On Wednesday night, they all come to the altar. They got their missionary cards out. They got down. They prayed for their missionaries by name. And buddy, I begin to notice a pattern through the years. I begin to notice that people who will pray and lay in there with God and hang on and get a hold of them horns of the altar, that's the people that God blesses. God's not interested in our talents. God's not interested in our forms or our programs. God's interested in somebody touching heaven and getting a hold of God. Amen? Give me a glass of water, Brandon. Where you at? And I'm telling you tonight, brothers and sister, we've got a God that can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And I'll tell you, every time God's ever blessed me while I was preaching, every time God's ever used this church and blessed our church and poured out His power was because somebody laid on their face before God and prayed till the victory comes. I'll never forget that night before we had that big youth rally in 88, the big youth rally. I feel like that youth rally had more impact on more people than any service probably ever had. That service was no accident. We literally laid and prayed and prayed and prayed that God would move in that service. Remember us boys that come up here that night? There's a gang of us. We got down, I don't know, 10 or 11 o'clock. We'd been getting a skit ready. We'd been getting the refreshments ready. We'd been working and planning and praying and inviting. But we said, boys, all the plans, the hot dogs, the programs, it won't do no good unless God's here. I remember laying right here for hours and hours and hours. Boy, some of them stayed all night that night calling on God. We prayed that next day. That night on March the 3rd, 1988, I walked out of my office. You couldn't stick a pin between the people in here. I honestly felt like there were lightning rods running up and down my soul. I couldn't wait to open the book and begin to preach. I was just like this. I'm just like one of them old, you know, bull pawing and wanting out of the fence. And buddy, I tell you what, that night, God Almighty was in this place. We had that little story, you know, of Dorothy on her way to the Land of Oz. And boy, she come out here. You remember that service that night? God Almighty moved in that thing. We heard ripples went out from that service like for weeks and months at a time. It did this last one, matter of fact, too. April the 8th, I still. You know what got this revival started down there in South Carolina where I'm preaching? The youth rally in April. They come to him, they said, a bunch of our kids went up to y'all's youth rally. They got so excited. We want you to come down here and preach. I said, Lord, I didn't even know this hour. I'd never heard tell of them before. The night before we had 1,000 in Sunday school, back in our 10th anniversary, I remember 5 weeks ahead of time, sitting over there in my office, and that thing come on my mind. Now, some people may not believe this. That thing got on my mind, and it seemed like the Lord said, I'll give it to you if you want it bad enough. And I said, God, I don't think that can happen. Little bitty town, the population of our city ain't but 3,500. There's no way in the world we could have a third almost of the population in one place. The Lord said, I'll give it to you if you want it. Right over there in my office. I can still show you the paper if I can find it. I started writing down, and I wrote down, could it be done? And I wrote down some other things, and I didn't tell nobody. I just said, could it be done? And I began to think, and I said, God, you can do it. God, you can do it. God, what a testimony that would be to a lost world that 1,000 people met in the little town of Marion in honor of Jesus Christ and heard the Word of God preached. What an honor it would be if the largest gathering of people in McDowell County for a month's time would be people in church in the house of God. And of course, you know, we worked and we prayed and we worked and we prayed. And it rained and all day the day before. It rained on Saturday. It rained all day long. I laid over there and prayed. We made phone calls. We begged. We pled. And boy, that next morning we come and God rolled back the clouds. It quit raining so the airplane could come over. I mean, the people flooded in here. They were standing in here nearly in the aisles. And God, sure enough, sent 1,118 people in Sunday school on a Sunday morning. You say, well, it's cost some. Oh, no, brother. It was because Jesus was put first. He was honored. He was glorified. I'm telling you tonight, we cannot afford to lose. We can't go on our reputation of the past. Brother, we've got to keep doing what we did then in order for God to keep blessing now like He did then. And let's keep a praying, keep a honoring God, keep a putting the Lord first. We'll see sinners walk the aisle in the rest of 1989. Just like we did in days gone by. You know, I guess I'm the type of person that's really, I don't know if, I like to think that I'm hard to be discouraged. Other people call it stubborn. And I like to think that because God has to make every preacher that He uses stubborn. They've got to be. You've got to be hard-headed to be a pastor. Because look who you've got to butt heads with. I talked to a fellow this week, son, and he come at me with some strong stuff. And bow! And I just went boom and butted him right back. In a nice way, in love, in a calm, sweet voice, I just fired it right back at him. I've got to be that way. Because if I didn't, the people would push me down where I wouldn't be worth a dime for God. I've got to be uninhibited. I can't let people bluff me. I can't let people intimidate me. I can't let you or anybody else push me back into a corner and say, now, Brother Danny, if you do this, we'll get mad. I say, pitch a fit all you want to. I just got to please God. That's the only way God can bless me. I tell you, brother, that's the way I've always tried to do. That's the way I continue to do. If you and your grandma quit tithing, God will send somebody in here that'll give twice as much as you do. I'm telling you, we cannot afford to lose it. We cannot afford to lose it. We've come this far by faith. I'm not an educated preacher. I don't claim to be smart. I don't claim to be even intelligent. We've come this far by faith. We can't afford to lose that. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the Word? You know, America was better off when she opened up her meals with prayer instead of a can opener. Like one little kid in school said, I know it's unconstitutional, but I pray before meals and test. I think, I told you before, it'd be nice if somebody put a high sign out there at high school. Said, in case of atomic attack, all rules against praying in this school are temporarily suspended. Guarantee if bombs start dropping, they wouldn't worry about the constitutional rights of the unbeliever. They'd be down on their knees calling on God, teachers and all. You better believe it, brother. You know what's the matter with us? We're a spoilt bunch of brats. God's been so good to us, the bottom has to fall anything, out of anything before we'll pray. And I'm telling you tonight, folks, we need to pray more. We need to pray. If you ain't got nothing else to pray for, please pray for me. I need it. I need it. Somebody told me not long ago, they said, it's impossible for you to keep doing what you're doing. I said, don't tell me. I don't want to know. And I said, it's impossible for the bumblebee to fly. Did you know it is a scientific fact that a bumblebee cannot fly? It's impossible. You say, well, how can they do? They don't know it. They just... If their wings ain't big enough to support your body. They say it's impossible for a new man to... Don't tell us. We don't want to know. We believe God can do anything. Just like Brother Greg said a while ago. If it's in the book, we just believe it'll come out like that. I believe that tonight we cannot afford to lose our prayers, our Christ-centered services, our praise. Boy, I tell you, I love it when the breeze gets to blowing. Now, you can't have that every service because you'd get bored with that. But it sure is good once in a while. Boy, when there's a shouting a while ago, all that we liked a while ago was for Vince to go pull somebody's leg. And it would have been on, son. It would have been on. I tell you, boy, if he'd have done one of them little shouting Charlie moves, I mean, there's no telling what we'd have been doing right now. We'd have been out there, out there in the parking lot, out up and down the street, shouting the victory. Right now, sometimes I wouldn't care if it happened if it was real. Sometimes I wouldn't. I wouldn't care if it really happened if it was real. If God just dumped the glory out on us so strong, well, we start thinking about when my feet hit the streets of gold, and boys start thinking about not going to the fire, that we'd absolutely just get beside ourselves. And buddy, I mean, just cut a shine like we never had before. You say, preacher, you sound like you're encouraging that. Yeah, you better believe it, buddy. I was a fan of them a while ago, boy. Watch them burn. Like a brother said, most places you go, it's dead at 4 o'clock in the morning, and there ain't no fire, no happiness, no zeal. Oh, yeah. You say, Brother Danny, do you really believe all them people shouting is really full of God's Spirit? Do you really believe all them people at your church that sleep are full of God's Spirit? I doubt it, don't you? Don't give me that bull. I'll tell you what, buddy. You may have a fake once in a while. You know, I heard about this fella. They saw him down there down at Tabernacle Baptist Church in Greenville, Dr. Siler's church. And, buddy, I mean, they shouted out down there, buddy. I mean, they believe in shouting it out, running the bases. And I tell you, they said there's this old boy come around through there not long ago. And he come a flying around through there. Woo! Just a running like that, you know. A shouting, he's going to, you know, they run out the door and in the doors now, like we've done around here before. And he's going to run out this door. It had a bar across it here. One of them you just push right at, you know, and it opened. Somebody had locked that door. Guy came running down. Boom, his glass, man. Anyway, bow, and his head and nose and everything. Just busted that glass all over the place. You say you believe God's in that? I ain't got the slightest idea in the world. But I enjoy watching them do it, don't you? I believe they're going to do that in glory. I believe we'll run the aisles in glory. I believe we'll have a time in heaven. I believe we will. You say, well, Brother Danny, I don't know if I go for all that emotionalism. We can't afford to lose it. We cannot afford to lose it. Now, I tell you what, I can't stand a bunch of fake stuff. And you know that, and I'm sure nobody can. Nobody likes a fake shouter. But it sure is good. And by the way, if you shout, you make sure that people know you ain't a hypocrite when you're doing it too. Amen? Because you're just a stench in the nostrils of God. But I'll tell you what, boy, if you're saved and God's forgive you and people know your life, boy, you just help yourself. Just have at it, buddy. I mean, just take yourself a fit and worship God. You've got every right in the world to do that. We cannot afford to lose that. Well, you heard my story I tell about that. I'll say it for the visitors right quickly, and I'm going to move on. I ain't going to take long on this. You heard about the story of that little church up there on top of the mountain on fire in a little country village? And everybody in town was running to put the fire out. And it just so happened that the church deacon and the neighborhood atheist was running right side by side. And they both had a bucket of water going up there to put the fire out. And so the deacon looked over to the atheist and said, "Boy, it's the first time I've seen you running the church." And the atheist looked back to the deacon and said, "This is the first time I've ever seen a church on fire." Amen. Buddy, we fuss and cuss because all them old wicked sinners won't come to church. A lot of times the reason they won't come, they ain't never seen a church on fire. Let me say something to our young people. Everybody's up here in the youth choir, stand up. And stay standing while I say sit down. Everybody in the youth choir, stand up. Let me say something to you kids here tonight. Y'all can sing good. You can sing good. Some of these kids are great singers. We can get 3-part harmony in our youth choir. And that's a blessing. You kids, look at me. Look at me. You looking at me? that ain't going to do it by itself. You're going to have to live right. You can't go into that school and be a rock and rolling, hippie-fied, pot-smoking, beer-drinking fuzzy and then expect God to bless you when you get up here and sing. Or when you get up here, you make sure Jesus is in your heart and you're singing for the Lord. Talent ain't enough. You need God's power on you when you sing. You hear me? You hear me? Get your life right with God. And you'll say, y'all can be seated. Buddy, I've seen our youth choir get up and sing and the absolute glory fall. You say, well, it's because people know, hey, I took these kids to churches where not one person even knew them that I know of. And they get up and start singing and people start coming to the altar. Right out of the clear. Nobody said anything about an invitation. Nobody said if anybody needs to come, come. They just got up and started coming. You know what that is? That's God blessing our young people because a lot of them really try to live right. And they do. And they do. But that's God Almighty. And preaching is the same way. God honors us if we'll try to please Him and live for Him. God honors us. Bless His name, we can't afford to lose that. You know where a church messes up? Just like Israel back in the Old Testament. The Lord said, lest thou begin to say, we have done this. Lest thou begin to say, my arm hath gotten me the victory. Lest thou begin to say, our strength has provided all this. The Lord said, I'll knock you down. Well, I didn't plan on spending long on that, but oh boy, we need some preaching. We need some praising. We need some praying. We can't afford to lose that. You know, I realize, as a man told me not long ago, he said, I'm an adult, don't yell at me. He come to our church twice, I believe. And he went like this and he said, I want somebody yelling at me. And I said, look up the word preach in the dictionary. Amen. I know there's some people can't stand me because I holler. But I kind of believe it's two things. It's not all my hollering, it's what I'm hollering. I believe that's what the problem is. Because, sometimes I can say things that really hurt if you're guilty of it. And that's my job, my word. The Lord said, I'll make your words like fire, and this people would, and it will devour them. It's just like setting the woods on fire, boy, when the Word of God starts coming out. We need some preaching. We need some praising. We need some praying. Oh, boy, there's never been a time when just old, good, old, down-home, fashion preaching will get the job done like it will tonight. But let me say, secondly, we cannot afford to lose our Bible convictions. We cannot lose what we believe. You know, what we believe is very, very important. I'll sum it up in three things. Under these things, there's 10,000 things. But I'll sum it up under three things. We cannot afford to lose the preaching of the blood, the book, and the blessed hope. Amen? Yes, sir. Let's think about the book. It's settled forever in heaven. I'm telling you tonight, boy, I still believe in 1989 that we have God's book. I don't believe God needs a new book. I don't believe we need a new book. There's a man told me this week, he brought out one of them everyday Bibles. He said, what do you think about this? I said, what do you mean what I think about it? He said, what do you think about it? I said, talk a little plainer. What do you mean, what I think about? He said, is it good or is it bad? And he named some well-known preachers who endorsed this book. And I thought, well, it don't make no difference what I think about it. I turned him to 2 Samuel 21:19. I said, who killed the giant? He said, David. And I said, not here he didn't. Elhanan did. Yep. I turned him to Daniel chapter 3. Is it chapter 4 about the Hebrew children? Daniel chapter 3. I said, who was that in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? He said, it's Jesus. I said, not in this Bible it ain't. It's a son of the gods. And I can't help it if the great preachers do say it's a good one. If everybody in America had one of them books, you couldn't get up in Sunday school and say Jesus was in the fiery furnace with the Hebrew children. You would never know it. It says, a son of the gods. Little G, little S, many sons, many gods. Man. Go get it and look at it. Man. You say, what's the King James said? Oh, old King looked in there and said, Lord and mercy, we throwed three in there and there's four, and the form of the fourth is like the capital S, Son of God. You know what they say? You know what them scholars say? They say it's impossible that a heathen king in the Old Testament would know that God would have a son. That's what they say. I say, you are crazy, man. Don't you know that King Nebuchadnezzar, ruler over the known world, bound to have had a copy of Psalms? And did you read in Psalm where it said, kiss the Son, lest He be angry with you, and you perish in the way? Did you read in the book of Psalm that said, what is His name, and what is His Son's name? If thou canst tell, sure he knew God had a Son. And if he had never read it, the Holy Ghost was able to tell him. That's like this stuff. Man, they make me sick. You can get commentaries and books that said it wasn't actually a whale that swallowed Jonah. It was a great fish. And they really think, man come up to me up there in an old building after I preached that one morning, and he said, well, you're wrong. Or you said it was a whale, and the Bible said it was a great fish. And I said, oh, really? And he said, yeah. And I said, read Matthew 11:40. Everybody, y'all turn to Matthew 11:40. We'll see what it was. You say, wasn't it a great fish? Yeah, but it was a whale too. Whale is a great fish. Matthew 11:40, if I remember right. 12:40, I'm sorry. I didn't know I was going to talk about this. Matthew 12:40. What does it say? Whereas Jonas was what? In who? In what? Well, is that in red in your Bible? Well, who said that? Well, Jesus. You reckon Jesus was a liar? Or you reckon it was a whale? You know what they said? They said it's a proven fact there ain't no whales in the Mediterranean Sea. Lord help us. If that ain't pitiful. Here is a guy in the 20th century reading a book written by a man in the 20th century that says there's no whales in the Mediterranean Sea, and he thinks that book's more authoritative than Jesus Christ. Well, I want to say, bless your soul tonight, there was at least one whale in the Mediterranean Sea. Oh, my soul! What are you talking about? That ain't no trouble for God. Hey, if they never had been a whale down there, the Lord could have said, be thy whale. And there he was. No big deal. What's the matter? Listen, man, God could put a blue whale in Lake James tomorrow if he wanted to. And swallow you. He could. God could put a whale in the doctor's aquarium if he chose to do it. There ain't no problem with the Lord. Like what one old sister said, she said, bless God, he said, I believe that Jonah swallowed a whale. If the Bible said Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd believe that. An old skeptic said, oh, you don't believe that, do you? She said, yes, sir, I sure do. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him all about it. He said, well, what if Jonah ain't in heaven? She said, well, you ask him then. Oh, we can't afford to lose our faith in the book. And you know what else them dumbos said? They said, besides, a whale's mouth is only so big. And they went into all this big rigmarole about how big a whale's throat is and said it's impossible for a whale to swallow somebody. I can produce you a book where they have found 6-foot skeletons inside whales. And 6-foot skeletons of shark, 6-foot shark inside whale belly. One man, a big fish swallowed him, and he stayed in there alive for 2 days, and they caught him, cut him out of the blubber and got him out of there, and he was totally insane. Alive. You think you've had problems. Can you imagine what a raving maniac you'd be after staying in a whale's belly for 2 days, man? Lord help. My soul, I can't imagine that. We can't afford to lose it. We can't afford to lose it. If the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil, then that am the way it is. And brother, that's just all there is to it. If the Bible said Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights and he got up, that's all there is to it. If the Bible said it's a shame for man to have long hair, it's a shame for a man to have long hair. If the Bible said a woman should dress in modest apparel, then women ought to dress in modest apparel. if the Bible said it's wrong to lie and steal, then it's wrong to lie and steal. We cannot afford to lose it. We cannot afford to lose our Bible. It's what got us here. It's what keeps us here. It's forever settled in heaven. Then, what about the blood? Nothing but the blood. What about the blessed hope? He's coming again. Well, let me read on that quick. I'm just going to name you off the rest of this outline, okay? We cannot afford to lose our character. We are living epistles. People watching our lives, buddy. I tell you, I make a difference tonight. It does make a difference how you live your life on the job. Now, you know how I believe. And I'm going to reinforce it again tonight. I believe in Christian liberty. I'm not trying to cram you in my mold. If there's anything that'll kill a church, it's for the preacher to start forcing all his personal convictions on the congregation. It ain't right. It ain't scriptural. And brother, if it ain't in that book, I have no business preaching it. And brother, you have liberty. You have liberty to disagree with some things with each other and me. And brother, God wants us to be individuals. God wants us to be individuals. You hear me? God wants us to be individuals. Don't you ever think, well, I better not do this because Brother Danny might not like it. Fully on Brother Danny. You do what God Almighty tells you and what that book says. I believe you ought to respect the preacher. I believe you ought to back your church and all that. But some people get it backwards. They're more scared of the preacher than they are God Almighty. And buddy, if their preacher died, they'd lose half their religion. I know some preachers right now, if all the boys got a haircut and all the girls start dressing decent, they'd have to quit preaching. They don't know nothing else to preach. I'm telling you, brother, we are to have Christian liberty. But on the other hand, that don't give you no excuse just to go loose, flopping around and living just like the world and doing like the world. God Almighty's put the Holy Ghost inside you and it'll tell you what's right and what's wrong, dude. Don't give me this baloney about, well, I'm not convicted over it, you know, and I like rock and roll and all that. If the Holy Ghost gets in you just right, He'll show you what's right and what. You don't have to come running up here and ask me neither, buddy. Hey, if it ain't covered in the book, the Holy Ghost will take some principle in the book and straighten you out on whatever you want to be straightened out on. We cannot afford to lose our character. But we ought to be big enough to admit our mistakes. We ought to be big enough to admire the abilities of others and not be like an old knot on a log somewhere when somebody can get up and sing, when somebody can get up and we're sitting back here saying, well, I don't, you know, or when somebody can get up and preach, or maybe you see somebody uptown, they got a bit nicer car than you do, or maybe they've got a little bit nicer house than you do. You ought to be big enough a man to say, well, God bless them, hallelujah, and just keep on a working and keep on a working. Somebody said something the other day, boy, that old preacher's got it made. It's kind of, well, let's say ironic, if that's a word, you know, that's a modern day term. You know what I preached on this morning? About, you know, staying busy and stuff like that. I went outside and got called a sluggard. And then my eyes, the bloodshot have been like, I feel like I'm on a drunk. And I'm mowing my grass at 11 o'clock at night, getting in bed at 1, getting up at 3. I'm a sluggard. I said, my soul, I'm going to have to get on the ball. I'll be sleeping 2 hours a night. Ought to be a shame. We can't afford to lose our character. And by the way, folks, people know what you are. Bible said, if any man love God, the same is known. I've caught myself since I've been preaching lots of times. You know, if somebody doubts me, I catch myself trying to say, and I'm trying to prove to them that I really am a Christian or something. And I quit that stuff because it hadn't. I don't have to go running all over town telling people what I am. People in McDowell County know what I am. I had somebody tell me the other day, they said, Brother Danny, I seen you years and years ago out shopping center and this and that and other. And you know, I never even dreamed that a lot of those folks. I run into a guy down in Morgan when I was preaching down there the other night. He got up and sung a song, give a testimony. And he said, I remember when that boy first started preaching. He said, Brother Danny, he said, I remember when he first started preaching. He preached up on the courthouse lawn in Marion. He said, I'd come uptown, I'd see him, and I'd go all the way around the block keeping him going by. And you know, folks, people know what I am. And people know what you are. Even the ones that say, oh, I believe in the hypocrite and lying, they know. They know. People know what you are. And that's something you can't afford to lose. If it kills you, And we was talking about it this evening at the dinner table. If you've messed up in front of somebody, go back and apologize and get it straightened out. Now, we was talking about this, and I believe it's real valuable with Brother Clinton and his wife and the folks from South Carolina. We was talking about them boys down there at that revival last night, and I said, Lord, they're up confessing everything in the world. I don't think they should have confessed all that stuff. You know, sometimes it don't pay to say everything you know. I mean, what if we all got up here and told everything we'd thought and done in the last great day in the morning? I don't believe God wants us to do that, do you? It's like this. If your sin's in private, your confession should be in private. In other words, you have a wicked thought, you say, God, forgive me. Ain't no use coming over and saying, Brother Danny, I done it. I don't want to know it. And I sure ain't going to tell you mine. You ain't a priest. You can't help me no way. But, on the other hand, if me and Vince gets right out here on courthouse lawn and has a big fight, and I say words I shouldn't and everything, then that's different. If my sin's in public, it should be confessed in public. Fair enough? If I went up here and I've socked him and I'm Main Street and I've bowed my testimony, it's not enough to go back to my prayer closet and say, God, forgive me. I should go to him and say, I want it straight. See, I want to be able to look anybody in the eyeball and know that things are right between me and them. And if I have, listen, if I've cheated you people out of anything, or well, I didn't plan on saying all that. Let me just read the rest of it off. We can't afford to lose our contract, what we promised. And you know what that is? Your time, your talents, and your tithes. You ought to give God your time. You ought to give God your talent. You ought to give God your tithes. Amen? A lot of people have to go to the hospital to have their tithes taken out. Next, you cannot afford to lose our compassion, what we feel, our love for God. We cannot afford to lose number four, or five, or six, whatever it is, our contact. That's witnessing to a lost world. We cannot afford to lose our charter. In closing, that's what we follow. The Savior, the Scripture, the Spirit. All of those are things that we cannot afford to lose. We can afford to lose a bus. We can afford to lose Brother Bruce. Keep praying. No, I was just kidding. We cannot afford to lose these things I mentioned now. Hey, y'all can do it without me. I've had people tell me, oh, Brother Danny, if you messed up, I tell you what you better do. You better just hang in there with God. If I get killed tomorrow, I'm going to send you back a wire from heaven. I'm going to say, you better not get some scum in there. Let them mess that church up. You better get you a preacher. I know they're hard to find nowadays as far as pastor is concerned. That's what you need. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. All right, let's pray and then I'm going to talk to you about something. Dear Lord, we know that there's some things that are so vital we cannot afford to lose them. Lord, there are many things we could do without. There are many things we'd probably be better off without. God, we do feel terrible tonight for all of our sins we've committed. But God, you know, they're under the blood, we've confessed them, we've asked forgiveness, and I pray that everybody in here has done that tonight. God, we know that we cannot afford to lose our fellowship with thee, our Bible, our prayer, our praise, our preaching. We just can't do without it. God, we don't have a high-powered denominational board behind us. Lord, we don't have money and TV stations and a lot of charisma and all this stuff. All we got is you and your word. Please don't let us lose it. God, may it be preached more real and more powerful in this church in the months ahead than it ever has been before. God bless our church in the months ahead. I believe you're going to. Oh God, I can't hardly wait to see what you're going to do this fall in our fall program and then in the Jubilee coming up in October and the youth rally in November. Glory to God, hallelujah. And then in the Christmas season, if you don't come, well, thank you, Jesus. What a privilege it is to be a part of what
you're doing. Help us never to lose it. In Jesus' name, amen.